Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, and all the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. So the religion of Islam is pro-working, is pro-wealth. Islam is not pro-poverty at all. Islam, I mean, discourages people to be and to remain poor. And this is my third point, that for in, at least for some cases, the reason for poorness is the fact that we are lazy people.
Yes.
We are, I mean, not trying enough. Again, I'm not saying that this is for all people, because some people try, but at the end of the day, they remain poor. I'm not talking about them. But for maybe the majority of the people, this poorness comes from our actions, the fact that we are not trying enough. And again, the next point, and we should not take it lightly again, is the spiritual factors. According to the verses of the Quran and the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt, there are some sins which cause people to become poor or to remain poor. Again, there is a kind of misunderstanding here that some people read some narrations and they generalize the narrations.
Yes.
So if the narrations refer to the fact that sometimes if you commit a sin, then you might become poor or your rest, your sustenance is decreased, then soon, I mean, all at once they say that we see so many people, they are rich and they are committing all kinds of sins.
Yes.
So this group of narrations is just referring to one of the reasons for poorness and not the whole reason.
So and it does not mean then necessarily that all the rich people are fasid.
Exactly.
Are corrupted.
Exactly. Okay. And doesn't mean that all the poor people are poor because they have committed so many
sins. Or all the poor people are good.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Okay. You have both poverty does scenarios. Not mean being good.
Exactly.
Okay.
Of course, I mean, maybe we can claim that, I mean, the number of the pious people among the poor people maybe outnumber the number of the pious people among the wealthy people. So my point is that not forget about the spiritual effects, I mean, reasons and factors. For some cases, we are poor because of the actions, the sins that we have committed.
That's right.
We have the concept of rizq or sustenance mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran in many verses, and of course the narrations. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna rabbaka yafsutu rizqa liman yasha." Indeed, your Lord expands the provision for whomever He wishes. Now again, liman yasha, this wish, this will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mean that He wishes without any reason.
Yes.
No, it has. It is dependent on many reasons. One of them is the efforts of the people.
That's right.
And the other point is that whether it is for their goodness for Allah to increase their sustenance or not.
Okay.
The
And we know that so many people have high IQ, but they do not try their best. We had so many people with low IQ, but they practiced their best and reached higher status, for example, in creation, in discoveries all around the world, okay? This is important about the inventors, the main inventors of the history all across the world, okay?
The next verse in this regard is from chapter Ash-Shura, verse 27. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ بَسَتَ اللَّهُ رِزْقًا لِعِبَادِهِ Were Allah to expand the provision for all His servants, لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ They would surely create havoc on the earth. They would commit all kinds of sins.
Yes.
وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدْرٍ مَا يَشَاءُ But He sends down in a precise measure whatever He wishes. This is the point that I mentioned.
Yes.
At least for some people, Allah knows that if they are going to be too much wealthy, then they would commit all kinds of sins. And we have examples in our real life. We see people that as long as they are poor people or in an average state, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they pay attention to the obligations. But as soon as, I mean, they become wealthy and rich people, they, gradually begin to forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and commit all kinds of sins.
That's all right.
Now, let's also talk about, being smart or non-smart. Again, it has different reasons. And we shouldn't think that everything, nothing is related to our actions. No, we know that. Just let me refer to one factor, and our dear listeners can think of other actions. and factors. We know that one of the issues which have a great effect on, for example, the IQ of our children is the estate of the parents at the time of the conception. So different factors can, I mean, for example, imagine a drunk mother and father. Yes. And the child is born, by a drunk parent. For sure, yes. It will have, negative effect,
yes,
on the child. Of course, the child cannot be blamed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it up for him or her. But the point is that we should not forget the principle of cause and effect. If you are drunk, then your child would be suffering from some illnesses.
Yes.
Or he or she would be not that smart, for example.
The statistics show that the drunkard women or smoking women during their pregnancy, their child will be born with ailments.
Exactly.
That's right. Okay.
So these are some also material, yes, and physical factors that, yes, also play a role. Of course, mm-hmm, as I mentioned, the children cannot be blamed, but yes, God will make it up for them.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Hermi, for a nice elaboration regarding the topic, the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why some people are born poor and some become so rich, and what is the real meaning of being poor and rich. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Cluster bombs, which the administration of United States President Joe Biden recently classified as a war crime, will now be sent to Ukraine in Washington's latest escalation of the unrest. Cluster munitions are banned by over half the world because they release dozens of bomblets, which often remain unexploded for decades after a conflict has ended. They cause more casualties among civilians than among combatants, and the United States is sending bombs with the imprecise grenades used in the 1991 invasion of Iraq. From bombing irrigation dams in Korea to Agent Orange in Vietnam to using chemical weapons against Iranians, the United States and their Western partners continue to use tactics which the global majority often finds immoral, even during wartime.
These are omnicide weapons. They're the worst atrocities in history, each in a can. Do reduce any sense of our moral authority in this war, since we're not in this to protect civilians. We're not in this to protect Ukrainians, who we've maneuvered into being our foot soldiers and into dying for American interests while America doesn't sit comfortably at home.
With diplomacy off the table and Kiev's long-awaited counteroffensive a failure, Washington admitted that they are sending the bombs because they are running out of traditional ammunition.
Because of the dramatically high expenditure rates of artillery by Ukraine and by Russia, where we need to build a bridge from where we are today to when we have enough monthly production of unitary rounds. This is the moment to begin the construction of that bridge so that there isn't any period over this summer or heading into this fall when Ukraine is short on artillery.
Escalation is reaching such levels that some analysts in Russia are actually advocating the use of nuclear weapons against Western Europe as the only way to restore the fear of war among Western leaders and to finally end the 9-year conflict in Ukraine. The United States used similar logic against Japan in World War II.
Our government says that stresses that Russia has been using cluster bombs through the war. Russian President Putin is, if anything, unpopular in his country to the extent that he's the most popular politician there. But he gets grief for having gone into Ukraine too soft in an attempt not to kill the civilians that ultimately this civil war has been about. It's been a pogrom by Kyiv and by ethnic Ukrainians in the west of the country against its east.
NATO members will meet next week in Lithuania, where many fear an even more significant expansion of the war will be announced. Ramin Mazahari, Chicago.
Outside Israel's London embassy, thousands of pro-Palestine protesters vented their anger over Israel's raid in the Jenin refugee camp in occupied Palestine. Speakers condemned not only Israel's crimes, but the ongoing support Britain offers to Tel Aviv.
The horrific footage which is coming out of occupied Palestine by the hour and going viral on social media has sent shockwaves across the globe. These protesters have come out in large numbers here in London to vent their anger and to condemn the British authorities for their so-called complicity in the Israeli crimes against the occupied Palestinian people.
Protest organisers called Israel's assault on the refugee camp barbaric and urged the UK government to abandon plans to outlaw anti-Israel boycott campaigns, including the BDS movement.
It singles out Israel for special treatment, for protection from accountability, which is completely shameful. Why list one country and say, no matter what government is in place, that Israel should not be boycotted? The bill is dangerous on so many fronts. It should never have been brought forward, and it will be shameful if the UK passed this bill.
There is no such right as the right to self-defense for an occupying power. The Palestinian people who have been fighting occupation and fighting for liberation are the ones that have the right to defend themselves. And this is nothing but a justification and a deflection from Israeli perpetual violence against the Palestinians.
Israel and Gaza exchanged fire Wednesday as Israel's regime pulled out from their 2-day raid on the camp. At least 12 Palestinians have been killed, many just teenagers. The Palestinian Red Cross said around 3,000 have been forced to flee their homes to escape the violence. Despite the killings, the UK remains committed to pursuing the anti-BDS bill, making it harder for critics of Israel to support Palestine in Britain. Robert Carter, London.
After decades of activism and art, the collection that has been a lifetime in the making was unveiled. Sandra Wafter's Nakba, Palestinians' Ongoing Dispossession.
I thought it's time to go full circle and try and tap into another form, another method of educating people on the Palestinian flight, because 75 years on, it's still unrelenting, unremitting, as we've seen a couple of days ago in Jenin camp. The onslaughts just carry on relentlessly. And one tries in any way, every way, to shed light on this.
The launch of the collection has come amidst growing tensions in the region. This after a violent Israeli incursion into the Jenin refugee camp, resulting in the killings of yet more Palestinians.
The one key word here is ongoing. The Nakba never, ever ended. It just stops and starts, but there is always strife, there is always oppression, there is always colonizing, there is always land theft. It just does not stop. So I just really look forward to the day when we can have a commemoration of the Nakba, because it would finally mean that it's ended, and this hasn't happened yet.
Wafter's work is visceral and emotive, but the artist wants to impart a message that goes beyond the gallery and into the very corridors of power.
You would think that the authors of our dispossession would hold for a minute and reconsider and consider standing on the right side to restitute this problem, this huge catastrophe that they have created. In fact, they are doubling down on shielding Israeli atrocities. It's very shameful, actually. 107 years now since the Balfour Declaration is just ridiculous. Britain has a chance to redress the extreme travesty of justice that it has birthed instead of going the other way and doubling down on shielding war crimes, in effect.
Artists like Sandra Wafter know the value their craft can make in keeping the memories of the Nakba front and center.
Art is powerful. It can evoke memories of a particular place or a moment in time. It can also be an exemplary tool of resistance. And for artists who are concerned and focused with justice for the Palestinians, well, their message is so important, more important than ever before.
The collection, Nakba, Palestinians' Ongoing Dispossession, is available now. Amina Taylor, London.
As the Israeli regime's biggest attack on Jenin refugee camp in the West Bank fails to weaken the Palestinian resistance factions, solidarity gatherings continue to take place in Lebanon and other parts of the world. Hamas representative in Lebanon has told Press TV that the Palestinian people have taken the decision to resist until the occupied territories are liberated and there is no turning back.
The Palestinian people have made up their mind that they will face the Israeli military machine with all courage and that they will continue until they remove the occupation, not only from the West Bank, but from all of Palestine. What is happening today in Jenin is a smaller version of what is happening on all of Palestine. If this superior military machine of the Israelis is incapable of facing a small refugee camp, then how would it face Gaza or the entire West Bank?
Lebanese people who have gathered in several parts across the country in a show of solidarity with the Palestinians say they have also lived through decades of Israeli aggressions against Lebanon, and they believe that resistance is the sole way to end the occupation, as was the case in Lebanon.
There is no other way to face the Israeli occupation than to continue to resist. The Palestinian people tried all means in order to liberate their land. It was a fiasco. So we need now to consolidate the resistance approach and to have a wider solidarity with this resistance, Palestinian resistance, in the occupied territory.
With the Israeli aggression against the Palestinian, they are trying to do that aggression over and over again. And the Palestinian people, starting from Jenin, trying to liberate first Jenin, but I think it will spread all over Palestine and probably it will go way abroad.
Jenin camp reflects the real bloody face of the Israeli occupation, the loss of innocent lives, the destruction of homes, the displacement of big families. They are the realities that the Israeli occupation can't ignore anymore. Today we are gathering together in a public space to send a powerful message for the Palestinian people and for the resistance that we are showing our unity and we are showing our position against the violence, injustice and the silence in the world.
As you enter any refugee camp in Lebanon, you are greeted with posters for martyrs. And refugees there express their unwavering support for resistance fighters inside Palestine.
We are not in solidarity with Jenin. We are one with Jenin. We, the Palestinians in the diaspora and inside Palestine, are one entity, and what is happening inside Jenin is a step towards the liberation of Palestine and a step towards our return to Palestine. What we saw in Jenin gives us hope that liberation is near.
We've become used to their crimes. They bargain that the old generation is gone, but they were stunned how the new generation is even more steadfast and courageous and ready to face them.
After 2 days of Israeli attacks on Jenin, at least 12 Palestinians were killed and dozens more were injured.
The United Nations says it is alarmed at the scale of Israel's assault on Jenin, yet people of Lebanon and Palestine, who have witnessed firsthand decades of Israeli atrocities, say there is nothing alarming about the aggression. However, they all have a collective conviction that the resistance will turn victorious. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
Out of the classrooms and under the streets, hundreds of thousands of school teachers here and across England on strike for 48 hours this week in what's become a battle for dignity and better wages.
We want to be with our children. We really do. You know, it's coming towards the end of term. We want to enjoy every day with them. But at the same time, we recognise that the fight for children's future has to involve strike action because this government doesn't listen.
There are others who are listening. Parents and students.
These strikes have to happen. Obviously, they're impacting in the short term, but with extra pay, teachers will be more motivated and they can help in the long run rather than them withering out.
And withering out they are. Underfunded and overworked, the teachers are not just striking, they're leaving the profession. Gillian Keegan, who runs the Department of Education, says the government has made a fair and reasonable pay offer to teachers. Yet her department has refused to publish recommendations for allegedly a higher pay offer by the Independent School Teachers Review Body, a decision that unions say risks dragging out the current dispute.
Part of the argument here is how a pay rise should be paid for. The government says schools should use their existing budgets to fund any pay increases. But the teachers have been pushing back, saying the school budgets are already stretched and that any wage rise should be fully funded by the government.
And it's not just the teachers' unions who aren't being heard. Also, workers across the public sector, such as transport and health, who have supported each other over the months. Solidarity that has scared the government into responding with a set of draconian laws to make it difficult for strikes to take place. In an atmosphere of uncertainty and with inflation still high, the strikers here are defiant, saying they will push ahead with industrial action until their demands are met. Saeed Bourizza, London.
The burning of the Holy Quran in Sweden has ignited a protest in the capital Sana'a, where U.S. and Israeli flags were set on fire in the streets. Protesters also denounced the latest military operations by the Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank city of Jenin. Members of the Palestinian-based Islamic Jihad resistance movement also attended the rally. They called on the Muslim world to unite and counter the Israeli occupying forces.
We came out to tell the world that we are with Palestinians and with Jenin refugee camp, and we are ready to support them. We in Yemen are ready to go to war with the Israeli enemy, who only seems to understand the language of war and violence.
We came out today to call on the Muslim world to defend the Holy Quran and to support the Palestinian cause, which is the Muslim cause. This is an obligation for Muslims to strive and revive and unite against the enemies of Allah.
Some observers believe Israelis, along with the West, have a hand in promoting those who insult Islam.
The individuals who burned the Holy Quran or who insulted Islam represent the aspirations and stance of the West, which promotes the burning of Quran and protects those who engage in such activities even on the Eid holiday. This is done just to insult Muslims worldwide. We will no longer stay silent.
Many Yemeni protesters we spoke with expressed their willingness to go to war with the Israeli regime and any state that supports insulting Muslims' holy book or occupying Muslim holy lands.
Israeli officials say the military operations in Jenin aim to strike what they call a terrorist hub in the occupied West Bank city. Now the protesters here say the Muslim world should become united against what they describe the terrorist Israeli regime. Yusuf Maudi, Sana'a.
Muslims in Afghanistan celebrate Eid al-Ghadir with different ceremonies every year. This place in Kabul is only one of the hundreds where people have gathered to celebrate this day and share the joy together.
Today is the day that Islam came to perfection, because on this day back then, Prophet Muhammad raised Imam Ali's hands and said, Ali is my successor.
Today, these people who are followers of Imam Ali have gathered here to celebrate the joyous occasion by praising the Prophet and Imam Ali.
This Eid marks the day that Prophet Muhammad appointed Ali ibn Abi Talib as his successor by raising his hand and saying to the huge crowd who were following him on his last Hajj pilgrimage, "Whomever I am his leader, Ali is his leader."
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, is the source of justice, crier of justice, and symbol of justice, not only in Islamic community, but in human society. When you speak of justice, the name of Ali is there. We honor Imam Ali because we honor justice. Along with that, Ali was the most honest and a man of virtue.
Imam Ali is the first man who returned the call of Prophet Muhammad and embraced Islam. That is why his most famous nickname is Amir al-Mu'minin, that means the head of the believers.
The personality of Imam Ali has drawn much attention throughout history. Today might be an opportunity for everyone to know about the man who once said, "No wealth is like wisdom, and no indigence is like ignorance." Abdullah Mirzadeh, Kabul.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asl zinda ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashimi Nejad. Please stay tuned.
صادق علیه السلام به شامر ابن حکم فرمودن که وقتی رفت برای تبلیغ
Once Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asked Hisham ibn al-Hakam about his preaching experience for people. Hisham stated, "Not a good one, since not so many people welcome me." Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asked, "Hisham, who were mainly your audience?" Hisham answered, "Elderlies." Imam Sadiq alayhi salam then stated, "Always in your preaching, focus on the young generation, since they are like the bare land waiting to be harvested. Therefore, the youth is the best time for a believer to strengthen his faith."
Okay. پیرمردی و حقیر گفت من جوان بودم رفتم در مشهد.
An old man who was always present in the first line of congregational salat was once asked about the reason for his punctuality. He answered, "Once I went to the holy city of Mashhad and I visited Shaykh Hasan Ali Nukhodaki, the great mystic. I asked him about the best deed to be done so that all the problems of someone must be solved. Shaykh for three times said, 'Salat on time.' And whoever acted upon this prescription has always got the answer to his problems. This is the experience of so many of the people who do their salats on time." Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashim Nejat. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Experts predicted a looming hunger cliff in the United States back in March, and they were right. According to new data, food insecurity in the United States reaches its highest number since December 2020. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Truthout noted, back in March, as expanded pandemic era supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits expired, food insecurity experts were concerned that the United States was racing towards a looming hunger cliff. Now it seems that their predictions were correct, according to new data from the Census Bureau. As the Alliance to End Hunger wrote in a June 30 email, 26.5 million Americans reported food insecurity as of June 19th, according to the Census Bureau's Household Pulse Survey, the most thus far in 2023 and the highest number since December 2020. During the pandemic, SNAP benefits were essentially supercharged as Americans faced furloughs, unemployment, and widespread supply chain disruptions, which had already thrown the grocery buying experience into disarray. In a surge that was categorized as an unprecedented expansion by the New York Times, Jason D. Parrell, more than 6 million people enrolled for food stamps during the first 3 months of the pandemic. While SNAP benefits typically vary based on a recipient's income, during the temporary congressional expansion, recipients were offered the maximum aid available for their household size. However, those benefits were cut months early as part of a bipartisan compromise surrounding a program to provide grocery benefits to replace school meals for low-income children. At the time, the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research and policy institute, reported that the average SNAP recipient would receive at least $90 less per month. The Center reported some households who, under regular SNAP rules, receive low benefits because they have somewhat higher but still modest incomes will see reductions of $250 a month or more. The average person will receive about $90 a month less in SNAP benefits. In a March statement to Sloan Food, Eric Mitchell, the executive director of the Alliance to End Hunger, wrote that there is never a good time to make it harder for people to buy food. But ending benefits now comes at a particularly bad time. Mitchell said, with inflation and food prices still near record levels, it is still far too expensive for many Americans across the country to put food on the table. Without these extra dollars, millions of people will be at risk of hunger. He continued, writing that the expanded benefits were a lifesaver for many individuals and families as jobs disappeared and the economy grinded to a halt. In the ensuing months, the SNAP program has undergone some permanent changes, the most notable being that the age bracket for people who must meet work requirements in order to participate in the program was expanded. As Sloan Food reported in June, this was one of the several concessions made by Democrats as part of a deal to raise the debt ceiling, which the country needed to do later this year to avoid a default crisis. Prior to the pandemic, people younger than 50 who met certain requirements had to volunteer, work, or receive job training for 80 hours a month in order to receive regular assistance. Now, as part of the new budget cuts package, recipients are required to work until the age of 55. According to the Center for Public Integrity, the new stipulations also make it harder for states to waive those work rules in states. Yet after weeks of debate, the new budget cuts package now raises the age of recipients required to work to 55, and according to the Center for Public Integrity, makes it harder for states to waive work rules in areas with high unemployment. Notable exceptions include if someone is experiencing homelessness, is a military veteran, or if they are a youth aged 18 to 24 who has aged out of the foster care system. Currently, there are also two bills under review that would prevent current SNAP recipients from buying junk food classified as candy, ice cream, and prepared desserts, such as cakes, pies, cookies, or similar products, with their benefits. Several hunger experts have raised concern at both developments, especially in light of the newest food insecurity numbers. According to the Center on Budget Policies and Priorities, the expansion of working age would take food assistance away from large numbers of people, including many who have serious barriers to employment, as well as others who are working or should be exempt but are caught up in red tape. Meanwhile, a spokesperson from the Agriculture Department told Spectrum News that further monitoring of what SNAP recipients purchase with their benefits would increase program cost and complexity and undermine the dignity of millions of Americans by assuming that low-income Americans are unable to make decisions that are best for themselves and their families. According to NBC News, with food prices up 6.7% compared to this time last year, the United States service members and their families experience food insecurity at higher rates than the general public. Also, Guardian had reported food insecurity remains stubbornly high in the United States. According to Guardian, 1 in 10 American households struggled to feed their families last year, with more than 5 million families missing meals and cutting portions due to poverty, new government research has revealed.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Allah, my Lord. Allah, my Lord. His word, Quran. His word, Quran. Muhammad, Prophet. Muhammad, Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is Youth Station.
And we are here again. I'm Bita and Asma.
And I'm Asma. Previously, in Youth Station, we talked about emotional intelligence, and I told you that we're going to have another gift of intelligence for you. So in today's episode also, we're going to talk more and dig deeper in this very beautiful concept that is emotional intelligence. There are too many documentaries on that.
And there are many kind of things and categories.
Many articles and many tests. You can even go online and have a test and see how intelligent you are as in emotionally.
And let me ask you a controversial question.
I love being questioned.
Thank you. So, what do you think about effect of gender on this kind of emotional intelligence? I think...
Am I going to be biased if I tell you women have got more of emotional...
You are biased people, but I do have nothing to do with that here. But I think most of the people would agree in that thing that women have higher EQs.
I suppose, because they are more into details and they have this self-awareness and...
You know, being more into detail is, I think, the main factor here. Because in order to be intelligent in your reactions, you have to pay attention to one little and tiny details in other people's behavior.
Of course.
And most of the time, men just don't pay attention to these things.
I believe. Yeah, I believe so.
But, you know, it doesn't mean that it is scientifically true or something. We are talking about our own ideas only. And there is no proof, of course.
Well, in order just to make it more clear, who are the people with higher emotional intelligence, I have been reading an article, and then there were some features of these people. So I'm just going to recite them for you.
I'm all ear.
So it's having empathy for others, which is, I guess, the most important one that would make you understand and distinguish that this person has got a higher EQ. Then accepting criticism and responsibility.
This is really important.
This is very nice.
And, you know, this is a policy, I think. When you accept other people's criticism, even if you don't change whatever you want to do, there is a feeling of giving respect to these kind
exactly.
of people.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
this is a policy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's a sign of having a high EQ.
It's an ability, you know, to hear a criticism and to think about it and to logically, without being biased, try to analyze what you have been hearing about yourself.
And, you know, the most beautiful part of this story is that these kind of people consider your criticism, but it doesn't mean that they have to do it or they feel a kind of
because, again,
them,
they're going to make a balance between what they hear and what they
and
think.
And this is the beauty.
This is very nice. And then another feature is having the ability to say no.
Oh, my gosh. I have a lot
this
of
also
problem
is very
with
nice.
That. Me, myself.
Yeah.
Not all the time. I'm a person who can tell you frankly that no, I'm not going to come.
I'm quite surprised because I thought maybe you're the kind of person who would say no easily.
But there are some really little and tiny
I
group
understand.
Of people
yes.
that I cannot tell them that.
I understand and I can relate.
Sometimes bothering. But I think it doesn't determine my EQ.
Of course. Yeah. You are an intelligent girl.
Oh, my gosh.
So they listen carefully. Another nice. Factor is that they listen carefully, and it's very important.
It is. You know, they're not in a rush to just answer
exactly
everything.
Because they have to take time to analyze things.
And they don't want to prove themselves to you, you know?
They do not reveal themselves
not
pretty much easily.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one is put yourself in others' shoes. That is sympathizing.
Yeah.
Sympathizing with other people and learn to reflect. This is very,
very important.
Because sometimes you have the data. You know what must be done.
Yeah.
But you cannot just do it.
This is the most difficult part, I think.
Yeah.
Because we do the analyzing part, thinking part, even sometimes overthinking part. But when it comes to doing something, you are speechless.
Yeah. Like, I'm hearing this tall that tells us, okay, you have to go for a break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
My genius girl here.
Yes,
yeah,
everybody.
Youth Station.
This is Youth Station. All the audiences of Youth Station have got a high emotional...
Because they are listening to
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Do you see many of these kind of people around you in your cell at university? What about university?
You know,
because you are with doctors
university.
And I'm just so curious to know. These people with higher IQ... Do they have a high EQ as well?
Unfortunately. Their life was like, okay, I'm only studying and studying and studying. This,
I was waiting for that answer, you know?
One-sided kind of lifestyle that they had. Just they are enabled and disabled to communicate with other people. And sometimes it comes to this point that I think they have some mental issues with themselves. And, you know, they have disorder. Really.
Oh, my God. To
and
that point.
Yeah, to that point. And I'm like, come on. How come you're going to be a doctor and you're like that? You have to work on that. And they just don't want to accept it.
Exactly. So not all people with high IQ are going to be intelligent in their emotional
There is one
issues.
Interesting thing here that most of the people with higher EQs can pretend to have high IQs.
That's what I was
beautiful.
Going to say. You know, there are many people who have survived their entire life with using only their EQ.
Yeah, exactly. And they are successful.
They're
this
very much successful. Yeah.
They are successful, and it means that IQ is not everything. Because there are some group of people who think IQ
because
is everything.
Because understanding other people is not an easy thing.
Yeah.
You know, because this is the core of a thing that recognized the person with a high EQ. So this process of sympathizing is not an easy thing. It's a gift that has been given to many people. So when I talk to many people, I can see how fast they want to give me replies and answers.
Yeah.
And they do not listen to me entirely. Okay, wait for me. Maybe I'm going to say something at the end and it's going to change the whole story in your eyes.
Yeah, you know what? These people with higher EQ, just they are so flexible in every concept they come
this,
to
this
to
flexibility
that, you know,
is
really
important.
You know, no matter what they are doing, they are successful in that.
Exactly.
And you know, the underlying root of all these success that they gain, because they have higher EQ, is their understanding of other people.
Exactly.
And people are really difficult to understand because they are complicated.
Exactly. Yeah, that's very true. So sometimes there are some people who, when you give them a piece of criticism about their behavior,
yeah,
they would get so mad at you. I usually, when I'm just talking to myself, I just wonder, okay, I'm giving you an advice about yourself. You should thank me for that. You know, you should thank me because I have thought about you and I'm giving you the conclusion that I have had about you. If you listen to what I'm going to tell you, maybe you're going to have some improvements. And it doesn't mean that I am not practicing that. I just love it when people tell me you have this problem and you have that problem and you have to solve it as soon as possible. Because if you do not do that, then it's going to be a part of you forever.
Yeah.
So it's going to be nice if you hear criticism from other people. Listen to it carefully. I do believe that some people do criticize you out of hate. And it's not just criticism. It's like attack.
It is.
You know, it's not criticism at all. I guess people with high EQ, they even know how to criticize people.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I wanted to tell you, that these kind of people can accept criticism and can criticize people beautifully.
Exactly. Yeah. In a way that they don't get mad.
And there is a word I want to add in this episode. It's tact. You know, these kind of people are tactful. They know how to talk.
Yeah.
They know how to just tell you what to do. Even if it is so bitter, they just wrap these bitter things in a sweet
and a bundle and there's
thing.
A ribbon upon
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
And then they would give it to you.
And
you would
love
it. Yeah, you would feel like flattered.
And this is beautiful, I think.
Yeah, this is beautiful. And it's an ability.
Yeah.
Self-awareness was one of the factors that these people have. They know everything.
Yeah.
And they understand. They feel them, you know. It's all about emotion. Yes, this is the last part of today's episode. Whenever I look at my aunt and she does something strange, I wonder what she has in her mind.
Yeah,
because I know
really
she could be a perfect politician. You know, these kind of people, I suppose they are perfect in policy.
They are. And, you know, just interacting with these kind of people is like a challenge for you.
Exactly.
That will help you to improve your IQ.
Exactly. That's why interacting with these sort of people is very much interesting.
And challenging.
And challenging.
And sometimes it makes you just annoyed.
But, yeah. Because every time they do something and you say, okay, what's the idea behind that?
Exactly. You
what's
have
going
to think
to happen?
So much about whatever they're doing.
Yeah. We said too much about these sort of people, but there's also another tiny detail about these kind of guys.
Here.
They are never people pleaser sort of kind of creatures.
They're not. I do agree.
Yeah, they would never please other people. But they have the tact to make you feel like, okay, they care.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes when you get too close to these kind of people and you got to understand them, know them more, you feel like you are detached from them. And I don't know why I feel like that. Maybe because whatever they do has a reason. They don't do anything out of their own mindset. It feels like they are fake sometimes. To me, it
sound like that, maybe, but I'm telling you that it happens to us as well, you know?
Yeah.
The fight between the heart and the mind, that is the thinking and the feeling, you cannot always control your feelings and you cannot always control your thinking. So the outcome is sometimes so strange.
Yeah.
That's why you feel like it's paradoxical, but I guess it's not. It's just the effect of situation.
It is. And it, maybe it is only the impression that I get from these kind of people, but at the end, I think it's a gift.
Yeah, it's a gift, a of really course. Because, you know, gift. Imagine yourself with a zero sense of EQ, and then you are put in a situation with different people, with different cultural background, of social background, and then it would be a disaster for you.
And your IQ is going to be waste in these kind of situations.
It's not going to help you.
Yeah,
that's no help.
And this is so sad.
Yeah.
That I see people with high IQs that they just waste this gift with just not even trying.
The process of adapting themselves to new environment is one of the best, I guess, features of them.
Yeah.
Because they can go according to each and every single situation they are put in. They know how to act. We even see that in stories and in movies, if you agree with me. There are many movies in which you see that the characters are just understanding every single other person who are around them.
Yeah,
And we call them the heroes just because the
hero... because they're understanding.
Because of their understanding, they're too close to everyone and they're a shoulder to everyone and they understand everyone.
They are, because when you understand other people's feelings and so on, you will anticipate and predict what are the problems that they are facing and try to help them.
You'd never be ambushed, you know what I mean?
No.
You have this gift to know what's going to happen next.
And to have these people around you as your friend is a blessing itself, I think.
Just as you mentioned, that point was very important. Some of them are too excessively into policy that it makes you so so annoyed. I feel like I have to be always aware of what I'm doing and what I'm saying, because everything is going to be taken into an account, and then in that account they're going to judge me and then they are going to plan for me. So in this situation, I guess this is one of the pitfalls of these kind of people, one of the negative
points.
They
are not heaven to be perfect or something, but...
You're not a Nutella jar to satisfy everyone.
Again, the time is not satisfying me for the episode, and unfortunately we're running out of it.
The same old story.
Yeah.
Time runs and flies, I suppose.
So let's just tell me the gist.
Yeah, well, if I want to tell you the gist... Okay, if you are the person who have been gifted with EQ, with a high EQ, then congratulations. You are a blessing to your own self, because...
And please text me. I want to interact with you more.
Tell us. Tell us the idea behind it, the tricks.
And your policies.
The rules,
Just share them with us. We're going to improve our own EQ.
Do you have a conduct book, anything that could teach us anything? Well, emotional intelligence is a good thing.
It is. Congratulations. And we have to leave you in the warm embrace of Allah.
Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.